Well, we made it back safe and sound from Chicago. All kinds of cheese and all kinds of pornography stores. Wisconsin, you're pretty messed up. Welcome to the Soderstrom bubble. I'm Scott. That's Jen. And that was a trip.
Yeah.
Of course, as we pulled back the curtain, we did tape last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were driving home at that point, so you'll get our thoughts on Chicago and what we thought. We'll talk a little, some book reviews, because Jen was able to finish a book. We'll take your questions if you have any. If not, well, you can go to hell. But you can always get us at SDR Strom Bubble on Twitter, or we get a new email address, thesoderstrombubble@gmail.com.
Oh.
As simple as that is, still took us a while to get it up and going. 21 episodes, figured it's time to do an email rather than just Twitter. So at SDR Strom Bubble on Twitter and thesoderstrombubble@gmail.com. But first and foremost, let us get it on with the Hockey Hall of Fame announced on Monday. Was it Monday or was it Tuesday?
It was Monday.
Monday.
I remember because I was sort of like punch drunk from
the drive back.
Yeah.
I had off for 2 days still before I went back to work, so I was happy.
I hated you so much.
I know. I didn't sleep in too much except for a Monday. I slept till like noon.
Yeah.
On November 13th, the new Hockey Hall of Fame will be announced. Four players of male persuasion, one player of the female persuasion, and two builders will be going in. The first one, no doubter, Teemu Selänne.
There's no question on that one.
Really no question. 76 goals for the Winnipeg Jets in 92-93, setting a rookie record. 684 times he hit the goal in 21 seasons in the NHL. First year of eligibility, boom. There he goes. No really complaint here, honestly. He's a guy who his longevity and the fact that he was able to pretty much even adjust and adapt as he got older helped him out, too, in pining out a career.
Mm-hmm.
So, thoughts on Teemu? I know you love Teemu so much.
I like Saku better.
You love Finns so much.
I'm fine with Teemu being in. There's really no complaint there. It's pretty obvious from the get-go that he was going into the Hall of Fame.
There we go. Next one down, a bit of a surprise for me. Dave Andrejczyk.
Yeah.
Captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning when they won the Stanley Cup. He was the only, at the point, had been the only retired player with at least 600 goals, not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Ninth year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
Gets in all intents and purposes, a weak draft class.
Sure.
A lot of power play goals for him, too.
Yeah.
Like, he was a power play magician, like 340-something, I think.
I think he's one of those guys that's almost like Chris Osgood, like, just on that edge of good versus great in a lot of minds.
He was never a breakout player. He was always, but he always racked up the goals, but that's because he played in that late 80s kind of open, the end of the fire wagon hockey situation.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, he was great. Tampa, I mean, he started to become just a serviceable guy from that point. But, I mean, I guess it's a good, but considering the other people that could have been out there that could have went in.
Like Theo Fleury?
Like a Cujo. Like, it seems as if, I don't know, I would like those guys over Andrejczyk.
One of the reporters on Twitter told me that they think that last year's inductees were a sign that the Hall is trying to slowly clean out like the logjam of borderline and neglected players, which I think is great.
Yeah, that's fair. And yeah, it's a fine thing. You might as well get them recognition.
Yeah, because the next couple of years, I mean, the classes, the eligible candidates aren't going to change a whole lot.
No.
I mean, there's not going to be any drastic, you know, Crosby's not retiring next year. There's no shoo-in.
And even then, they would have the 3-5 year waiting period, right? Is it 3 or 5? I want to say 3, because I think Selänne would retire 2014.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and this was his first year.
First year eligibility. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody else is going to get a Gretzky pass.
They might for Crosby. We'll have to wait and see. I kind of doubt it, but...
I don't think they will either. He didn't break the records Gretzky did. He didn't have the impact on hockey that Gretzky did.
Right.
So...
But a lot of people voting at that point in time won't remember.
Which is sad. Really sad, honestly. Yeah. Mark Recchi, next one in. 22 seasons in the NHL. Stanley Cup winner with three different teams. 12th highest scorer in NHL history with 1533 in points. Fourth year on the ballot. Only retired player to score more than 500 goals and finish his career with more than 1,500 points. That was not in the hall to that point. 200 power play goals for the Rexon effects. And another Andrzejczyk guy where, yeah, he had a lot of goals. Didn't really... He played on a lot of good teams, too. I mean, that Canadiens team he was on was great. The Penguins team he was on was great. That Bruins team he was on was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Yeah, you have to ask how much of it is him and how much of it is the effect of playing on these teams.
Right, and how much is the system?
You know, it's like the Bruins goalie, not Fuhrer.
Ramford? No.
No.
Moog?
Moog, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Moog.
He got traded from Edmonton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said that one year he got like 10 assists, the highest of his career at that point, and like 8 of them were because of Paul Coffey.
Right.
You know, like... So it's that sort of effect that I wonder about with some of these guys. Just how much of it is, you know, you happen to be on a good wing.
And another sort of, and the argument made is like, oh, why is it so bad that guys with longevity get into the Hockey Hall of Fame? It's not that. It's just these guys were not dynamic players.
Having a long career does not mean that you had a great career.
Sure.
It might mean you had a good career. It might mean you had a steady career. And there's something to be said about steady and good and, you know, all of these things. But it doesn't make for great automatically.
And what's a benchmark these days, you know?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Like, is what Ovechkin is doing, is that a benchmark now that he's going to get in guaranteed? I think he gets in because he was a dynamic winger coming out of the dead puck era.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he gets in that way. We talk about Crosby. Crosby, probably the best playmaker of our generation, I would say. Yeah. I would have to argue that. As much as I hate his team that he's on, and I don't much care for his antics, he's a great playmaker. No, Jonathan Toews is one of the six greatest NHLers still living today. Does that mean he gets, you know, Duncan Keith, one of the six? Like, if none of those six guys get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, the other thing that cracks me up is people argue, well, he won a cup. And I'm like, yeah.
So did many, many others.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can name six fourth line guys that won a cup. Does that mean that they should be in the Hall of Fame? You know, like... They're not even good fourth liners.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's the same thing as like the rest in peace Dave Semenko. But does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because he won a cup ring?
No.
I say he does. Well, no, because of the space that he was able to create for Gretzky. The fact that he was able, as a guy who was, you know, not necessitated as a scorer or anything like that, the fact that he was able to get all those cup rings and be a guy that was depended upon as much as he was.
Sure.
Is he getting in the Hall of Fame? Heavens no.
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 But then again, you know, like, people go on and on about, you know, how you have to be this sort of player, that sort of player. I'd like to point out that Clark Gillies, I believe, is a Hall of Famer. Let's see.
I don't know. You're on a tablet, but what do you think?
Not Clark Gillies. What is his name? Oh, I'm looking at the builders. That's why I'm.
No, that's probably why. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Mike Bossy?
No, it's one of the Islanders players.
Brian Trottier?
No.
I don't know. This is going. We should have researched this before we went on this.
Just do the alphabetical list.
Yeah, there you go. You could do it by team too. I think, right?
No. Yes. Yeah, Clark Gillies, Hall of Fame.
Is he? Right.
Yeah.
Huh, how about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, people think of him as just that sort of, like, rough player. But his statistics are a little bit more.
Look, Mark Howe's a Hall of Famer. And I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, in all honesty. Let's not kid ourselves
here. I'm not entirely convinced. I'm not
sold on that.
Okay, so Clark Gillies played 958 games.
So under the 1,000.
319 goals. 378 assists. 1,023 penalty minutes.
But that was a rough year for that class. You know who else was in that? You probably can have it right there.
Huh.
Bernie Federico.
Yeah.
Rod Langway.
Yeah.
Rod Langway, I think, of the three, is the only deserving Hall of Famer.
The problem with a Hall of Fame is that it's so, so subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends on who's on the committee from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
If we had more transparency.
Yeah.
If there was more transparency, we'd be able to get those sons of bitches.
Yeah. Friend Joe, who used to run Greatest Hockey Legends.
Joe Peltier.
Yeah. He asked me once, he said, I heard that once upon a time, they published their ballots. Can you find it? And I went looking all through archives, like New York Times and the Toronto...
Sun or Star?
The Toronto Sun and the Toronto Star.
And the Globe.
And the Globe, and I couldn't find it. Hmm. So I think it's just a...
myth.
Yeah.
It does seem like a cloak and dagger association they have.
Well, the committee used to say, they used to not admit it out loud, but there were certain players who weren't going to get in because of their behavior during their playing days. Like, the committee felt that they drank too much during their playing days, so they just weren't going to get in the Hall of Fame. The committee felt like they were too much of a troublemaker.
Well, you still see that today.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think that's why Theo Fleury still can't get in.
Cujo, too. Cujo wasn't that media friendly.
Nope.
So, and he was a bit of a whack job, but he's a goalie, so... Makes perfect sense. Hextall's not in it, is he? Hextall's not a Hall of Famer? How Hextall's not a Hall of Famer?
No, he's not.
That's, to me, that's shocking.
Yeah.
But again, it goes with the subjectiveness of numbers. Like, you know, people are going to be like, oh, Chris Osgood's got X amount of wins. Yeah.
And then the problem is that the committee, as it moves further and further away from your era, tends to forget... you know, just how dynamic you were, or just how much you contributed, or how many saves you made, or what have you. It just, you know, time passes us all at some point.
And I wonder at what time do we start seeing these oddball players getting, because there's analytic guys voting.
Soon.
Hope to God not.
Yeah.
The final purse player in this class of the male variety is another one that I'm... Paul Kariya.
Yeah.
989 games, 989 points, 402 goals.
The problem is he was highly injury prone.
No thanks to Gary Suter getting his stick up.
Or Scott Stevens' shoulder.
Yeah, and I mean... But he came back for that game and played the next game after that. But, I mean, for all intents and purposes, here's another guy who I don't think played well with the media after his playing days or once he got out of Anaheim, pretty much.
He never really played well with the media because he's always been an intensely private guy. Mm-hmm. Like, his whole life he's been very, very private. It used to be that all of his business dealings and correspondence and everything went through his sister. Before it got to him, you know, so he's just naturally that private guy.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. approach. Who else we got here? We got two builders. Jeremy Jacobs, owner of the Bruins since 75, chairman of the Board of Governors in 2007, Lester Patrick Award for service to hockey in the United States in 2015. Claire Drake.
Yeah.
Put in the builders. This is one I appreciate. I know nothing of Claire Drake, but reading about him and how well he coached.
He's great.
And a lot of coaches these days talking about how he was a mentor.
Yeah.
And the fact that Canadian college hockey, which is apparently now called U Sports.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Like, that's a Nickelodeon name. Like, that's dumb. U Sports. No, just call it CIS like you did the last. Anyway, all about branding. Ha ha ha. It's a stupid brand. Anyway, Claire Drake, 6 national championships as the coach of the dominant University of Alberta Golden Bears in the CIS/U Sports, coached the Edmonton Oilers in the WHA, and was a Winnipeg Jets assistant coach in 89-90. Great boost. Huge boost for CIS hockey in general, or Canadian interscholastic hockey. That's big because it breaks, you know, you don't see a lot of guys. There's Joel Ward is the only other guy I can think of from CIS. There's probably another one.
Yeah. There's
Steve Ruchin, I think.
Yeah.
Also another guy. Shout out Steve Ruchin. also, one of the female variety player, Danielle Goyette. Big international presence in as many of the Canadian women are. Three Olympic medals, gold in 2002 and 06, and then silver in 98. Seven golds and one silver playing with the Women's World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, hooray for her.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't there two?
Because they seem to think girls are still icky. I don't know. Like, it just, it makes no sense, because there were the full number, and then there were none, and then there's one.
This is going to be, in the 5 years they've done this, this is the fifth woman going into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, there it says something about representation.
It does.
But.
It says something about the committee.
It also says something about the, a little bit. I don't think it, because these people, the people on the committee are not the ones who are watching women's hockey.
Probably not.
And.
But if you're on the committee, shouldn't it be your obligation to investigate?
Yes and no. Like, yeah, you should do your due diligence, but at the same time, are you going to go out of lockstep with everyone else? You know, if Pierre LeBrun, if, well, we ran down something of people who voted, and like, mm-hmm. and it's like, well, why would this guy, why would Glenn Healy watch women's hockey, or why would any his assistant, if he has one,
right.
you know, research women's hockey? And it also says something about how this is primarily a Canadian women's thing, and how there's, I think Cammy Granada's the only American in there. No, Ruggiero's in there.
Yeah,
but I mean, still, it's like I understand that the need and everything, but we're getting to the point where we talked about branding.
Yeah,
U Sports.
Yeah,
stupid branding. Hockey Hall of Fame. I think it's scared of having too many women in there that they don't know about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that falls on the national teams. It falls on the governing bodies. It falls on Hockey Canada, USA Hockey, Swedish Hockey,
sure.
all the federations.
Well, and I think it falls on the fans as well to contact the members of this committee, because, I mean, their names are out there. I have the list in front of me. It's on the website.
Sure.
They're not hard to find.
No.
So, I mean, it's John Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
James Gregory, Scotty Bowman, David Branch, Brian Burke, Colin Campbell, Bob Clark, Mark DeFoy, Eric Duhatchik, sorry, Michael Farber.
Mike Farber, yeah.
Ron Francis, Mike Gartner, Anders Hedberg, Yari Curry, Igor Larionov, Bob McKenzie, David Poyle, Luke Robitaille, Bill Torrey.
There's two people on that list, three people on that list I think should have stepped up for the women. Brian Burke?
Yes.
Michael Farber?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, there's one more. Can I see your tablet real quick?
Yeah.
As we see here.
The screen brightness is a little funny. I'm having trouble reading it.
Yeah, I'd say. To an extent, McKenzie, too. I would think McKenzie would be...
You would think he would.
He would have some kind of...
Yeah. And it's not like these guys haven't seen... I mean... Larionov.
Oh, Larionov, too.
Yeah. Robitaille went to the Olympics the same time that women started going. They hung out with the... I'm saying he's not completely clueless.
No, but at the same time, how much attention is he paying? And I think this also goes on to the professional leagues that are out there.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, if you can't push people, then... I don't know. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to create. It's hard to have this big superstar that's international playing. Because all intents and purposes, anyone outside of North America loves their international teams.
Right.
North American, they only care about it in big tournaments, the Olympics, and that's it.
They care about the Olympics and the World Juniors. Maybe.
Yep, maybe.
You know,
maybe.
If you're that kind of person.
If you're winning.
Yeah.
For the U.S. Canada is regardless.
One of the things I noticed with this list is that several of these guys are very much of the old school, the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be part of the problem as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You've got Bob Clark, Colin Campbell, John Davidson. And I'm not saying that they're close-minded. I'm just saying they're from
an older period.
An older era that may or may not affect the way they think about these things. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it does, I can't say. I'm just putting that little possibility out there.
Well, I mean, in Scotty Bowman's case, you've made a huge push for Marguerite Norris.
Yeah.
He was in Detroit for how many years?
Yeah.
And you can't run away from that history because it follows you every damn turn in Joe Louis Arena it did.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of... But, you know, at the same time, it takes 75% of the vote.
Right.
So even if these guys... Even if all five of them, yes, and then everyone else said no,
yeah,
it's down. This is where transparency comes into play.
Right.
Was Aaron Witten even brought up?
Right.
Haley Wickenheiser's going to get in. She just has to be eligible whenever they retire. I mean, that's the thing, too. When is retirement when you play only for a national team?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is it from the last game of your last tournament, or is it from when you make the announcement that you've retired? Do you have to make an announcement that you've officially retired? Like, what are the ins and outs here?
Mm-hmm. Especially for some situation like this.
Yeah.
I really push for Aaron Witten. I think she's phenomenal.
No, I actually said on Twitter that my goal for this next year is to get a letter writing campaign started for both Aaron Witten, three actually. Mm-hmm. Aaron Witten, Fran Ryder, and Marguerite Norris.
Tell me about Fran Ryder.
Fran Ryder is very influential in women's hockey in especially in Ontario. She helped found the current Ontario Women's Hockey Association. She's spent countless hours like mentoring people and finding coaches and, you know, putting together league paperwork and doing all of the things that keep the league going. And so I think she's been really crucial to women's hockey, and I think she should be in.
Yeah, and I think you need to have some kind of more of a women's thing if you want to get people actually interested.
Yeah.
In the leagues that are out there now.
Right.
It also brings about the question of, you know, how they have the IIHF mm-hmm. wing.
Mm-hmm.
Why not create a full women's wing kind of thing?
You know, I've always wondered that. And then, of course, the argument is, well, you wanted equality, didn't you? So women and men together in one wing. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
In all honesty. It's two entirely different games.
It is. And the women's game has been mostly international.
Yes.
And where it hasn't been international, it's been intensely local. Like...
Northeastern.
Yeah. Or, I mean, even if you were to try and get a woman like Bobby Rosenfeld in, who I also think should maybe be in, or, what's her name? I'll think of her name.
In Philly?
No, She played on the Rivulets, and their team only lost like two games in the entire decade of the 30s.
Hmm.
Her name will come to me. Anyway, so even if you want to get players like that in, I mean, the problem is they were intensely local.
And so local that it's not into the worker world day where we have viral media.
Right.
So...
Yeah, I mean, I can say something about these women, and it will get a bunch of tweets or retweets, but it doesn't last very long, you know.
It's a novelty.
Yeah,
it's like women's hockey in the Olympics. It's like women's soccer after the World Cup. Like, it fades because the interest in that is not consistent.
Right.
How do you make it consistent? I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's hard to say, because. There are feverish supporters of women's hockey out there.
Absolutely.
And diehard people. But at the same time, it's like, how can you turn the casual fan into caring?
Right.
And especially in this year coming up. Because they're losing half their rosters to the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, and that seems to be the biggest spike in women's hockey is the Olympics. Like, that's when girls really say, oh, I want to be a hockey player, is because they just saw the Olympics, you know. And it's tough. I mean, I'm no marketing expert, I can tell you.
That's for sure. First off, you need to stop having two leagues. I think that's a big deal, too.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll talk about that in depth later. Willie O'Ree is not in again.
Yep.
And I wrote on my blog this week, put him in as a builder.
You know, honestly, I wish that they would come up with another category. a pioneers type category.
Wasn't that technically a builder?
Right, because he's not technically a builder. He's not... I mean... Okay.
I'll hear you out.
In the sense that they've been using the term builder. You know, team owners. Team executives, GMs, coaches. Like, he's not a builder in that sort of sense.
But the literal definition of builders, according to the Hockey Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
is a builder is a person who has contributed to the development of hockey, and as the name refers, one who's built the game forward.
Sure.
It's almost like the reason why there's a IIHF Hockey Hall of Fame and a Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because the Hockey Hall of Fame has been unofficially the NHL Hall of Fame. And the builder section has been unofficially head coaches and GMs.
Right.
I mean, right. It's one of those things where...
It's all but name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have no problem with him going in as a builder.
I think it makes sense because the rest of his career, aside from the fact that he was in a rival league,
yep.
And played well in the WHL,
mm-hmm.
still not Hall of
with
Fame.
With one
numbers.
Eye.
Yeah, with one eye, still not Hall of Fame numbers. Like, yeah. if you want to have milestones for Hall of Fame numbers, it still
sure.
wasn't up there.
Yeah.
And you know, then people are being like, well, what about Larry Kwong?
Right.
And like, well, okay, yes, he did break he literally broke the color barrier.
That's why I was arguing there should be some sort of, like, special, like other mm-hmm. special wing. I don't know what to call it. Pioneers or... groundbreakers or whatever. I don't know what to call it, but I feel like there should be some other special, like, I don't even know. I'm putting like air quotes.
I know what you're talking about.
So
a diversity wing is essentially what you want.
Sort of, because
a cultural wing, maybe?
No. Because it
how PC are we getting here is what I'm getting at.
No. Because I think then that would be the place to put, like, Menon. For playing in a NHL game, it would be the place to put Paul Henderson for scoring that freaking goal that I studied for
one,
4 years.
One trick wonders, yeah. What you're saying? You want trick wonders,
like heroes and I don't know whatever. But you see what I'm trying to get
folk
at?
Folk heroes and. But I think that diminishes a guy like Willie O'Ree, who off the ice has done so much for the NHL diversity
right.
program and stuff like
no,
that.
No, I think Willie should be a builder. Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, Henderson does not deserve to be in the...
No, but I've seen so many people arguing that he should because of that goal.
Yes.
And I'm going, one goal does not a career make. Mm-hmm. I mean...
True. Because if that was the case, Stephen Matteau would be all right. So we talked about a couple of our snubs. Theo Fleury. Yeah,
that's my big one.
Yeah, that's your big one. Cujo's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Ozzy is kind of a big one for me. But he's, yeah. again, one of those guys like Andrew Shuck and Recchi who's a
he's
system.
Borderline.
He's a systems goaltender.
Yeah.
He played behind a lot of great talent in front of him and just had to make the simple saves. But it's not, they don't put in your statistics how the save was made. They just, or how the win was registered.
It's just
it's a win.
Win.
It's a save.
Yeah.
It's a save percentage. So, any others Hall of Fame that you kind of?
I think somebody mentioned Butch Goring.
Well, yeah, Lyle Rich, SpectrusHockey.net and the Hockey News. We put this out here. He said that yeah, Mr. Butch Goring is out there, and I wonder about that. How Butch Goring? What is he to you? What do you think that he is able to bring to the table in terms of? You know, aside from his felt helmet, like what what will get him, what he'll get him in there? I mean, again, it's a, yeah, I don't know how to quantify or qualify him.
And that's another problem is, you know, how do they quantify these and how are you supposed to quantify these? Because, you know, you look at who's already in the Hall of Fame and you're like, well, if he's in, then he should be in. And if Mark Recchi's going in, then... You know, so-and-so should go in. And so it just becomes this really tangled mess of who should or shouldn't be in. I have to say I'm generally indifferent to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I think it's bad or, you know, whatever. I'm just generally indifferent because of the benchmarks and the secrecy and the... You know, and I understand people want to honor their heroes. I get that completely. I'm just not I cannot get worked up over a Hall of Fame.
It's fair. Fair so. Enough. McGillney. Is he a snub?
I think so.
990 games, 473 goals. Mentioned Osgood, 744, 2.9. That's a pretty good goals against average,
2.49. Yeah.
Roenick. Someone brought up a Roenick.
No.
Really? Not a fan of Roenick, are
no.
you?
I don't think he's Hall worthy.
No, and I think a lot of people are that way as well. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other people that are glaring, like Rogge Vachon was.
Yeah.
And he finally got in. So, I mean, there's that. I'm trying to get into Lyle had a thing a couple years back about the guys who were snubbed in hockey. The biggest Hall of Fame snubs in history. This is from 2015, so. Do you have a slideshow? He's got honorable mentions. He's got Guy Carboneau.
Oh, Lord, no.
Best defensive forwards.
I know.
Get your personal stuff out of this, Jen.
Exactly.
Bernie Nichols. Yeah. 1,209 points in 1,127 games. Bobby Smith is an interesting one he puts up there. I'm not sure about that one.
I've seen people argue for Makarov.
Yeah, that's fine. The oldest rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Turgeon, Pierre.
Yes.
He has comparable numbers to Matt Sundin.
Yes.
And Sundin's in.
Yes.
Van Beesbrouck.
Mm.
All-time leading goaltender in U.S. History. She's tied for basically just American goaltending.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's more of a U.S. Hall of Fame kind of guy than...
Lyle cites Fleury, Roenick, McGillney, Andrewchuk, who's now in. So, like I said, years ago. Tom Barrasso he puts in here, too.
Yeah, Barrasso, I can see an argument for him.
But again, media guy.
They didn't call him TJ for nothing.
Exactly. And his number one, right, I put Rogge Vachon. His number one was Butch Goring, or his number two was Butch Goring. Number three, Sergei Makarov.
Yeah, 134 goals, 384 points, 424 games. Yeah, he was dominant, but the problem is much of his dominance was pre-NHL. And what is this Hall of Fame?
It's the Hockey Hall. Wait, NHL Hall of Fame unofficially.
Yeah. Although they do have guys like, they do have, Chediak in.
Chediak and what's his name? Harmalov.
Mm-hmm.
But Harmalov was like years after he should have been in.
Yeah.
Like he went in 2000. He went in recently, I think, 2010 or something.
I'm thinking that, it might have been more like 2000.
Is Freddie Shiro in? Freddie Shiro has to be in.
Yeah, he just got in.
Yeah, like not too long ago.
Yeah. Like so. Last year, the year before. Let's see. Oh no, Shiro's. Shiro not in? Oh, this is only players.
Okay, oh, there you go. Go to builders.
I clicked on the wrong button again.
Jesus.
I know.
With your buttons.
Yeah. Well, here's a fun fact. Steve Yzerman's full name is Stephen Gregory.
Seems like a Stephen Gregory.
With a PH.
Seems like a guy. Seems like a guy who would do that. He's definitely a guy with a PH rather than a VEN.
Jeremy Jacobs.
What about him?
I really hate that he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Why? Elaborate and listen. Get his back with a whole new intention.
Well, first, my first problem with the Hall of Fame builders category is that it's very much you look at the roster of inductees and you can tell it's very much an old boys club. And the only way, like, the way you got in was you owned a team. That's it. That's all you had to do. You had to be rich enough to own a team. And then they started letting coaches in. And, you know, that's great. I love that they have a coach's area within that because they deserve it. But I really hate the fact that to become a Hall of Fame builder, in a lot of these cases, all you have to do is own a team.
Okay.
It bothers me. It's not like you founded the team. It's not like you were instrumental in saving the team. It's not that you won, you know, four cups in a row. It's not that.
Who else is in this?
Who else is in the Hall of Fame?
No, who else is in this blanket statement that you're making right now in terms of the old boys club and guys who are just...
Let me look it back up again.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it seems as if, like, the other people that were in, you know, I don't see what's the big a deal. Because you look at Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder did a ton for the game.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder did a ton for the Philadelphia area. Was he an asshole? Yes, he's a businessman. So, of course, he's going to be an asshole. But, I mean...
Yeah, no, I just... let me see if I can click on the right guy here. I mean, you've got some really good guys like Cliff Fletcher,
mm-hmm.
Pat Burns, Emil right. Francis.
Mike Ilitch.
Yeah.
Roger Neilson. Walter Bush.
Yeah.
Scotty Morrison. Glenn Sather could be of that old boys club.
Yeah.
But he was a great coach and a great builder for the Edmonton teams.
I'd say he was more of a builder than a coach, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this list right now.
Yeah,
Lou maybe, but no, Lou kind of saved that franchise in Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, there's a club of very deserving, but then there's, you know, guys like Bunny Ahern who are in there just because.
Well, what year is that?
Exactly. Harley Hotchkiss, as much as I like him.
Oh, he saved that Calgary. He can do no wrong in Calgary. Don't speak ill of him in Calgary.
Is that with the Eskimos or with the Flames?
Well, the Eskimos are Edmonton.
Right, sorry.
So, but no, he was the one who bought Atlanta and moved into Calgary. So,
oh, that's right, that was him.
He
gets a pass, though.
Yeah, he gets a very big detriment. Your argument's kind of falling apart here a little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
You just hate Jeremy Jacobs, is essentially
what
it is. Well,
I do hate Jeremy Jacobs, but I do also hate some of the...
I'll give you...
Like, a lot of the early guys...
Sure, but I mean, that's the early guys too, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, you get, I mean, yeah, I was going to say Doc Seaman, but Doc Seaman was really great for the for the Flames as well. Like, I'm trying to help you out here. It's not really going well.
No, but see, I think very historically, mm-hmm. So that's my problem, not yours. You know, Gary Bettman's going to be in the Hall of Fame, right?
As he should be. You know what? I will defend Gary Bettman going into the Hall of Fame for what he was able to do to hockey to expand it. Has it been the greatest?
No.
No.
Of course not.
No, but what is?
You can't have growth without pain, though. That's the
right
thing.
And, but and he is the perfect commissioner because he didn't let ego get in the way, and we saw that in Chicago when he rained the booze down on him. He doesn't. He is a guy who is well past that wanting to be liked stage,
yeah.
And I like Bettman because he grew this. He took a sport from being a nine-figure sport,
mm-hmm.
into being an 11-figure sport.
Sure.
He took it from the hundreds of millions to the billion. Billions.
I don't have any problem with him being in the
Hall of Fame. Gary Bettman, and I love everything about him. I will defend him to the hilt because he's a classy gentleman, and I'd love a heel. I love me a heel.
I'm just...
Hashtag heel Bettman.
Yeah, I'm thinking very historically. Like, it used to be all you had to do was...
Oh, and sure, I'm for certain, I am sure that that's completely justified when you think historically back in the day,
yeah.
to the builders of yesteryear. But I think recently it's not been that way.
I don't. Yeah, I am not a fan of Jacobs in any way, shape, or form, and I don't think he's done much for the game other than, you know, lockouts. He describes himself as a hardliner. I don't even know what that really...
He's a union guy. Like, to... I'm not a union guy, because that seems... But he's definitely of... When it comes to union fights, he is not going to give. He's not a give-and-take guy.
No. He seems to really hate the players' union.
Yeah. And I think some people inside the players' union hate the players' union, too, if you believe what's been coming out recently.
Oh, sure.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah.
Ted Saskin-esque things that were going on right now, and I'm freaking loving every minute of it.
It seems like nobody particularly likes Jeremy Jacobs, though. I will give him the fact that he is a great philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely give him that. But beyond that, I just, I'm, There's nothing particularly noteworthy that I know of that he's getting into the Hall for.
I love that Jim Gregory's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Is he?
Because that man does the Lord's work on Saturdays in the draft. He just gets up there, gets on a stool,
and just
announces.
Reads,
and just
yeah.
announces. Thank you, Boston. With 146 pick, San Jose. Go ahead, San Jose. Jim Gregory is a godsend.
I don't think you could ruffle him either.
No, because he doesn't care. He's.
Oh, that was great when he announced. He's like, "Your time is up." Like
Anaheim, you know your time is up. Would you like to take a timeout now?
Yeah, that was great. Like just so world weary. Like, okay.
Jim Gregory not taking any guff.
Nah.
Senior VP of operations of the NHL, Jim Gregory. They're 81 years young. That man. God bless. Yeah. God bless him.
And he just sits there and very calmly reads through. And
he's the best. Like yeah. I love the second day just for him. Just for Jim Gregory up there.
I think we all do, honestly.
Oh, it's the best. He just rattles it off, and that's why it gets done in like 3.5 hours.
Because he takes no nonsense.
I think the second through seventh rounds actually went longer than the first round. The first round went by in a rapid clip.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Oh, people were so upset there were no trades or anything, and I'm like, you realize this isn't that kind of year, people.
No, it's
You've
not.
Already had the expansion draft. You're yeah. having the draft itself now. Mm-hmm. You have free agency in, what, a week? Like, calm down, people. There will be things.
No, they can't calm down, though. It has to be hockey, 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 and then they're going to ask if it's October yet. I'm going to mail every single one of them a goddamn calendar to show them, no, it is in fact not October. Students.
I've actually started replying to people, is it October yet? With suggestions of things to do.
Yeah.
Like, go for a walk.
Yeah, enjoy summer.
Yeah, enjoy the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Get out and enjoy life.
Acquaint yourself with these strange children who keep calling you dad.
Pop a couple of fucking sinus pills and go out and enjoy the park. You lazy shitbag.
Discover the joys of you know, slots gambling, something, anything.
That's sure, too. Enjoy a crippling gambling addiction.
Oh, man.
Eat something. Why do people have to be hockey 24/7? That's weird to me. I used to be that way, but I also was younger.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be, and I lived in Baltimore, and yeah. I'm just like, I want to like hockey, and I played it all the time, and I'm just like, and then I realized, yeah, you know, you can breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
You are allowed to breathe.
And that's part of the problem with what I do is because I'm doing history stuff, like, almost every day. I take the weekends off, but I do it almost every day. I get so burned out. So burned out. And by this time of year, I'm like, I can't care anymore. Mm-hmm. I have no caring left. There's just nothing.
Guess what, guys? I'm going to take 3 days off, and you're going to deal with it.
Exactly.
If you don't like it, go to Time Hop and get my stuff, stupids. All right. Hockey Hall of Fame is a mess. I love every minute of it. Chicago, what'd you think of it? Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Yeah, you had. I'll let you take a drink now, because I'm just staring at you. You're just like, I want a drink, but I want to talk too.
Like, I kept expecting you to ask me a question, so I was like,
"Yeah, I did ask you.
Ask me, so I can answer a drink."
Chicago, you enjoyed it probably much more than I did in terms of just going out and having festive foods.
Oh yeah, well that's my thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we picked a really good hotel, so there was like a Thai restaurant right nearby, and. A taco place, like a block away.
Like a legit, like, taco place, not like
yeah. a... not like a Taco Bell.
No.
It was an actual, like, local taco joint.
Mexican place, yeah.
Yeah. And, they made my burrito, like, my carnitas burrito, and they said, what kind of salsa do you want? And I was like, well, what kind do you have? Thinking, you know, the normal, like, red sauce or whatever, Taco Bell. And I said, well, we have mild, we have medium, and we have spicy. And I was like, now by spicy, do you mean like regular?
You mean white people spicy?
I actually said, I was like, do you mean regular like white people spicy or do you mean like actual spicy? And he just kind of gave me this look and he gave me a little thing with some chips. He's like, here, try this. If it's not spicy enough, we're doing something wrong. And I tried it and I was like, I'll take a gallon. So, yeah, I had great food. The Vietnamese food was incredible. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the bar life, and I enjoyed the local McDonald's.
which was also a block away.
And the local Burger King, which is another block away.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. Where we stayed at was good. Evanston was fine to us. The Chicago and the city, I could not have stayed down there. Christ, is it just a mess?
Yeah.
It's a big city mess, but that's what you kind of figure out about big cities. They're often a mess.
Yeah.
Same
kind of mess, different setting.
Exactly. Different accents.
Yeah.
I just love the first guy that we ran into at the Cubs game was so Chicago. Hey, what you gonna do there? You're gonna go down that side there, and you're gonna go there. Big fat Polish guy. Like, exactly. I'm like, oh, if this guy is Chicago personified.
He's like, I'm home. Exactly.
Freaking Chicago personified, this one here. My God. You could be more any stereotypical. This guy's...
And Dave Isaac right behind me.
Yeah, just Dave Isaac just hanging out, having a time.
Because he came down the steps, and he's like, where do I? And then he heard him giving the instructions to you, and he walks up to me. He's like, I'm just going to follow you guys. It's like, don't be weirded out. Like, I'm just going to follow you. And I'm like, okay, who are you?
Who are you, and what are you doing?
Yeah, and I haven't seen Dave since, like, 2010?
Probably.
11?
11, I think.
Yeah.
No, 10.
Philly.
10, because...
Yeah.
Unless you stayed there early, 11. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you read a book.
I did.
And this was a book that you were very, I don't know, it seemed as if you were kind of off and on about it.
Yeah.
And we're trying to find the title right now.
It was about 1993, the 1993 season.
92.
There it is.
Season.
A Season in Time.
By Todd Deneau.
Yeah.
So did you say yes or Deneau to this book as a recommendation?
If you're a casual fan, you'll like it. You'll probably really enjoy it, actually. Because it's about the 92-93 season, and so it hops back and forth between the Habs, the Leafs, the Kings. It's sort of a very big picture, sort of. These were the important teams that year. Here's how and why. I feel like there wasn't enough depth to it. But if you're looking for a good primer on that season, that would be a really good book. So, yeah, I got upset because there were a lot of unnecessary footnotes.
And you said, like, just a lot of unnecessary dramatic endings to places or dramatic pauses or what have you.
Yeah, yeah. It was unnecessarily dramatic in certain places, but it had some really fun little factoids. You know, like, cute little things like the Jets traded for Ty Domi, and I forget the other guy. But Temu was so happy to have this tougher guy on the team now that the first time he saw Ty, he, like, walked up and hugged him. Like, the first thing he did was just, like, hug him, like, welcome to Winnipeg, you know, which is cute. It's got these very cute little moments in it. It's got some other little insights in it. But, yeah, if you're expecting any sort of depth, this is not the book.
This is not the book for you, folks. So.
No, but if you just want to sort of relive and enjoy the 92-93 season, it's perfect.
Someone here, I Sherbert Hoover, great name, great goddamn Twitter name. They mention Andy Moog being a snub.
Yeah.
Three-time Stanley Cup champ. Mm-hmm. Half Jennings, fastest to 300 wins, 18 years in the league, career 891. But that was, he said, that was like a 920 in the 80s. Again, a systems goaltender like Osgood, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he played in that heyday with the Oilers, and once he went out on his own, did well, but not well enough. You could see the cracks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean... I'm partial to goalies. I don't think Andy Moog is up there, though. Andy Moog kind of rode the coattails of Grant Fuhr when Grant Fuhr went his, you know, kind of thing. See if anybody has questions. If you do have questions at any point in time, SDRStromBubble on Twitter, thesoderstrombubble@gmail.com. So, yeah, is there anything we missed out? Anything we left out? Oh, I want to thank... Mitch for coming out to the Puck Daddy party. We gave him his tickets away.
Oh yeah,
he was a good dude, and he gave us an interesting thing that we could possibly do this summer if we get bored, or if we just want to bang out shows on one, like, one Saturday. We bang out five shows at a time and don't have to do it every week. What if? A what if series.
Sure.
What if A, then B? Mm-hmm. I know I have a hockey news magazine that did a what if whole episode. This is during the lockout, so they needed content.
Yeah. That's usually when you get those sorts of pieces.
Yeah, like what? He asked, what if Marcel Dion stayed with the Red Wings and played out his career there? And what could have happened from there? Like, no Stevie Y, no Stanley Cups, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
You don't like playing in metaphoricals?
Not always.
Hmm.
Some of them are too, too complex to really play out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's different because it starts a web.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going where and who, so.
Yeah.
We could play, even if it's just like the end of show out of, we should do maybe one a week or something like that. So,
sure.
Good on Mitch to do that. Also, we're going to be moving some stuff around to Blog Talk Radio once that whole thing happens. Seems much more complicated than it is. My God. Like, all this stuff is just, so much stuff.
Yeah.
So much stuff for something that's going to be probably a little bit easier and maybe make us a little penny here and there.
Yeah.
Who knows? Do you know the U.S. Won the inline hockey world championship?
No.
Me neither. I didn't know until I did the double.
I didn't know it still existed.
Yeah, no, me neither. You goddamn right. I'm going to write about that one tonight. Maybe into tomorrow.
You know, when I went down to the thrift store today, I saw a polo that said Long Beach, and it had like a hockey puck on it, and I got really excited because I thought maybe it was like the
Ice Dogs,
but it's just the local like development, like the kids league.
Youth leagues.
Yeah, so it's the Long Beach Lightning.
Yeah. They tried.
Yeah.
All right. let's go. It's Canada Day as we record this, so we have to go to Timmy's apparently now. By law. If I want to keep my Canadian passport, I have to do that. But I'm going to go with my Zuba, so that's the most Canadian thing I can think of, aside from just draping myself in the flag. So, people can find you.
NHL History Girl.
On the Twitter. Find me at Scotty Waz. Find the show at SDR Strong Bubble. We are part of the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, FOHSMF. So for Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This is the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. You seem like you want to say something, Poochie. Do you?
No.
Okay. Take care of yourself and someone else. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.